The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who've gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military, and I'm on a mission to educate veterans in the job search marketing process. This podcast shares the military transition hot washes and after-action reports of your fellow veterans to smooth your own path out of the military. Well, welcome back to part two of my episodes with Dave Shantz, our SkillBridge guru, who knows all things SkillBridge and is, whether he believes it or not, an expert marketer of SkillBridge programs. And last week, we talked a lot about the kind of the mechanics of behind SkillBridge and how you do it and how you navigate it. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit more about the employment part of it. And so, welcome back, Dave. Thank you for coming back for a second episode with me.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for having me, and looking forward to this next episode.
So we talked a little bit about the resume last week, and do we need to, you know, really focus on our resume? And I want to talk about the interview process, because one of the things we discussed last week is that, you know, we want to try to find a train to employ opportunity with SkillBridge. And so do you have any thoughts on how a service member should approach the SkillBridge interview process and what questions they should ask when they're vetting the company they want to choose for their program? Because I think that's important. They get to choose. Also, they should go out and treat SkillBridge like a job search, don't you think?
Absolutely. And so actually, I would say that the discovery about the organization should be done before the interview for the SkillBridge opportunity. I highly suggest that service members run weekly keyword searches on the SkillBridge locations page, because companies, when they fill out their application, they're putting in the keywords, right, of the jobs that they may be able to offer. And so instead of a service member sifting through 4,400 companies one by one, right, you can do a keyword search to see who in fact has told the DoD, we may be able to offer these type of opportunities, right? So when a service member is at that point, they're in the discovery phase, right? They're in the networking phase. They should absolutely reach out to the SkillBridge point of contact that's listed on the SkillBridge location page to learn about the organization and their SkillBridge program. If a service member wants to be a system administrator, go do a keyword search on LinkedIn on that company's page and look for system administrators. Lockheed Martin, Amazon, Boeing, Northrop, they all employ system administrators, but they all may require it to be done differently, right? It's the same job done differently, right? And so I don't want a service member to go into this blindly. I want them to know as much as they possibly can about the job, how it's done, and as much about the organization. So that way they're applying to the companies that actually they want to work for, right? Applying blindly, yes, you can do, you can do that, but if you're accepted and then you take an opportunity with an organization who you didn't fully vet, you didn't network and learn much about, and then it ends up turning out to be an organization that you don't enjoy or you don't like the way they're having you do the job, it's almost like a waste of SkillBridge, right? That's all stuff that the service member could have figured out ahead of time, right? They didn't even need to waste their time applying to that organization that they're no longer enjoying. So I would actually do it in the opposite. I would have them do the networking piece first, ask all those questions about the organization, do a Google search, right? Learn about, you know, what are some things that this company is doing? What are they known for? What are some of their successes? What are some of their failures, right? A lot of stuff is open source that you can find out on the web. But when they sit down to interview for the SkillBridge opportunity, it should not be the first time that they are learning anything about the organization. They should come to the table understanding quite a bit, if not a lot, about that organization, what it is they do, what is their bread and butter, how do they want to or expect to fit into that organization. So that way their questions are a lot more pointed and not generalized.
I would say treat this interview like you would a regular job interview where you're going for, a paid opportunity. Like, just because it is a fully funded fellowship opportunity and the DoD is paying your salary for that time frame, we hope for it to turn into a funded by Lockheed, by Amazon, by Boeing, right? And so treat it the same way you would a regularly funded, funded by the company job interview. I recommend that SWOT analysis, right? Their strengths, their weaknesses, their opportunities, their threats. Go in there and treat this SkillBridge opportunity not as a, for lack of a better word, a gimme, right? That they're going to automatically hand you this opportunity. You go in there and earn that opportunity so that when that SkillBridge is over, they are clamoring to bring you on board. They know that you're already going to be a valuable employee. Do you think it would be wrong to ask in the interview, like, do you have an opportunity for me in the organization? Should this be a mutually beneficial process? Like, is there an opportunity where I can be placed with your organization in the long term?
I would absolutely ask that question. That is a very pointed question and a very appropriate question that I think service members should ask, right? Because not only does the company want to have that warm and fuzzy on the front end right before they offer that service member the SkillBridge opportunity, but the service member should have that warm and fuzzy. When they accept and route the paperwork to their chain of command to say, I would like to do SkillBridge with this organization, they should have that warm and fuzzy on the inside that they're going to be well-trained and there is a high likelihood of them being offered a job in what they're being trained for. There are some organizations that are doing things that I'm just not a fan of. They're offering service members jobs to cover their butt, right? Because that's what the program is supposed to, have. But they're not offering the service member jobs in what they were trained for. That to me is not right.
Yeah.
And so, absolutely. Ask those pointed questions, right? Because if you don't ask, then you're giving up the information in order for you to make the best decision for you and your family. So it's not inappropriate. And if an organization has trouble answering something like that, they're offended or whatever the case may be, anything negative, that's a pretty big red flag. And I would just say, yeah, Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Yep. So I want you to interview them as much as they're interviewing you, just like I teach you to do in a regular job search. I want you to do that for SkillBridge as well. And, I want you to go out there and gather lots of opportunities and pursue lots of opportunities so that you have your pick of the one that is best for you and your needs and your future goals. You agree with that?
Yeah, I was hoping to expand on that. And so my thought on that is the same way that possibly you're teaching people to apply to jobs. Never, ever, ever put all of your eggs into one company's basket, right? It's a complete waste of time. When you find out about these organizations, right, you reach out to 20 of them, maybe 12 of them, after you learn about them, you want to work with them or they at least interest you, right? Apply. When you're ready to apply, apply to all 12. Apply to every single one of them because you don't know what they're doing on the back end, right? When you apply, here are some scenarios that a service member can possibly get put into, right? The recruiter they just started a 2 or 3 week vacation. Now, if you will only apply to that one organization, you're waiting 2 or 3 weeks for that one person to get back to you. Waste of time. That point of contact that's listed on the SkillBridge website is old. The company didn't realize or know to update that information. Now that email that you just sent to the POC went to an empty email box. You're not going to hear anything, right? You don't know if that recruiter just got arrested or they're on a hospital. They just started maternity leave. Yeah. There's so many reasons, right? Never put all of your eggs into one company's basket. It is a complete waste of time. Apply to as many organizations as you possibly can. with the intent that you actually want to work with them, right? Don't just blindly apply, right? It's not a collection that you're trying to get as many, you know, offer letters as possible, but you do want to set yourself and your family up for success. If you apply to one organization or opportunity, you may get one opportunity or you may get nothing. But if you apply to 10, you know, organizations, maybe seven of them call you back and maybe four of them give you an offer. And that keeps a service member in the driver's seat and allows them to choose what's best for them and their family.
Absolutely. I want you to treat this exactly the same way. So I think that is great advice. When you and I talked, you said, I think that service members need to change their mindset about SkillBridge. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So SkillBridge is, because it's so popular and because of how long it's for or can be for, a lot of service members get it in their head that they're getting out of the military 6 months early, right? I see this a lot on social media. You know, they're supposed to retire or separate, you know, December 31st, 2024. And they're telling everybody, oh, I'm out of here, you know, June 30th, you know, 2024. No, you're not, right? You're only temporarily assigned to the organization, which means your commanding officer can very much recall you, right? And so that's one big mindset. The other thing is service members chasing the time instead of chasing their happiness. Service members hear about SkillBridge and they hear, you know, this can be from 1 to 6 months. And everybody's like, oh, I got to get a 6 month opportunity. No, you don't. You don't. You need to get the opportunity that is right for both you and the organization to support the level of training that you need in order to get the job that you should want.
Right.
And so sometimes that only takes 2 or 3 months, right? Because the purpose of SkillBridge is to upskill or retrain the service member. Right? A service member technically should not be offered a SkillBridge opportunity to do the same thing that they are already qualified to do. The DoD doesn't want to spend up to 6 months of pays, benefits, and allowances for a service member to go train in an opportunity they're already, you know, capable of being hired into, right? So upskilling or retraining. And so especially for those opportunities that are upskilling, right? The service member already kind of has the background, you know, information and experience of that type of job. So maybe it doesn't take a full 6 months to train you up for the next level, right? Maybe it only takes 2 or 3 months. But if that job is what's going to make the service member happy, that is what I want for them. I don't want them to chase the dollar. The money will come. I don't want them to chase the time. That's not the priority, right? Their happiness, being able to wake up every day, enjoy what they're doing, and support their family is what I hope that they focus on.
You know, I just want to call back to something we just talked about. Like, if I'm working with one of the SkillBridge service providers that does placements, should I also pursue opportunities outside of that organization? Is there anything wrong with doing that?
No, absolutely not. And so while yes, those third party providers probably partner with several others, right? So you fill out one application with that third party provider and it goes to, let's say, a dozen companies, right? I still only consider it one organization because you don't know how many companies they're going to share your resume with, right? And or your application with. So I would not put all of my eggs in one third party's basket. I would apply to a third party, right, provider and, you know, all the other organizations that may be able to offer you the kind of opportunities you're looking for. So, yeah, just because it's a third party provider and they partner with a bunch of different companies, I still only count that as one. And I implore service members to apply to other organizations.
So diversify, put lots of irons in the fire. And really pursue what's best for you. And I think those are some of the best pieces of advice I can pull out of that. Okay. All right. Good. We talked about like the timing of the transition planning process. So you have some definite thoughts on that. And so tell me what your thoughts are about the timing of transition planning.
Oh my God. I lose my mind two different ways, right? So when a service member reaches out to me and they're like, hey, I'm 2 years out from transitioning and just wanted to start learning about the SkillBridge program and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, yes, thank you. Like you're doing it right. You know, you are not waiting until the last minute. And thank you so much. I don't know why you're doing this. You're one of the few service members, unfortunately, who are starting the planning process well in advance, right? Please share this program, whatever you learned with your other service members that you work with. I love seeing that. But then I also get very, you know, upset when that service member is like, okay, I'm here. Today's my 6 month mark. What do you got for me? And I'm like, oh my God, you completely missed it. Like, you know, there are some companies that just have certain, you know, skill bridge opportunities that they can maybe, you know, line up for you in a week or two. But a lot of organizations want to network with you so that way they do their due diligence on the front end as well, right? They want to know that you're smart enough. They want to know that you're a good company fit before they offer you. And most times that's not an overnight process.
Right.
And so, you know, when to get started is as soon as possible, right? Everybody transitions at some point. Everybody, right? And so if you join the military tomorrow, start your transition process the next day, because eventually you're going to get out. So start learning about all these programs, start learning about, you know, the COOL program and tuition assistance and the GI Bill and Skill Bridge, right? Because eventually you're not going to be in the service. And so why wait until the last minute? It is very much, transitioning is very much like drinking through a fire hose. And, you know, when there's so many programs and so many classes for you to receive information, it's very difficult for service members to properly receive that information and know absolutely anything of what to do with that information to benefit them. So please start well in advance, because applications to companies should be done well in advance as well, right? And hopefully we get into that as far as when they should start applying to organizations.
Well, let's talk about it. I want to also call back to, you talked about the SkillBridge program locator, like the opportunity locator page. Let's talk about that. Let's make sure that that's in the show and we put it in the show notes. And let's talk about when. When should they start that process?
So first, as far as the website goes, there are zero, zilch, nada, none. No SkillBridge opportunities listed anywhere on the SkillBridge website. And I think I misspoke in last week's episode. I think I said SkillBridge opportunities on the SkillBridge location page. I misspoke. There are none, right? If a service member finds organizations on the SkillBridge location page, there's a blue plus on every single line. If they click the blue plus, it expands, right? A text box. And if you read the text box, they're not job descriptions. They're descriptions as far as that organization or that SkillBridge program. That's where the keywords are, right? So we may be able to offer, you know, IT, cyber, system administrator, you know, project manager, all those, right? But none of those boxes read like a job description. So there are none, right?
Okay.
So a lot of service members are misusing the SkillBridge program, or excuse me, misusing the SkillBridge website, because they think that those lines are SkillBridge opportunities, especially because there are locations listed. Those are just the locations where the companies have told the DoD, we may be able to offer SkillBridge opportunities in this location. But also, that doesn't even mean that they can't facilitate SkillBridge opportunities in other locations. There are a lot of organizations who can facilitate SkillBridge opportunities all over the country and maybe even remote. And right. So I really suggest service members not use that page as gospel, right? Just because they say that they're only located in Anchorage, Alaska, and their only keyword is, you know, IT project management. If they're a decent sized company, let's say, you know, 200 people or more, they're going to have HR, logistics, business, cyber, IT, you know,
yeah.
They're going to have a whole plethora of different types of roles, right? So don't take the SkillBridge website as gospel as far as who you should reach out to, where the opportunities are, and what types of opportunities there are. I would definitely reach out to an organization if you know something good about them and you want to, you know, join their ranks, but they're not listing the keyword for the type of job that you want, reach out to them anyway. Never, ever, ever say no for a company. Make them tell you no. You may just spark the kind of idea in that POC's mind to say, oh yeah, I never thought about exploring that job for our SkillBridge program. Let's do it. Right?
Yeah.
That was one question. Your second question was?
Timing.
Yes, timing. Thank you. Okay. So now this is a general rule of thumb, right? So there are some organizations that don't necessarily follow this rule, but for any position that requires a secret clearance or less, most recruiters don't look any further than 90 days in advance.
Okay.
So 90 days before you're eligible to start a SkillBridge opportunity is the best time for you to start applying to those organizations. Because if you tell, right, we're in February, right? So if you tell an organization that you can join them September or you know, around the holidays of 2024, they may be like, that's amazing. I can't even see that far down the line, right? I'm only focusing on May and June, you know, for right now. So typically 90 days in advance for positions that require a secret clearance or less. For those positions that require a TS and above, especially those defense contracting organizations or those organizations, government agencies, right? There are some government agencies that have skill bridge programs. Your DoD clearance most times does not translate over. There's no reciprocity. And so those three-letter intel agencies do not look at your DoD clearance and say, yep, okay, good to go. No, they have to do a full background investigation on you, and that is not an overnight thing. A lot of those times, they take 2 to 4 months. One of the three-letter organizations that I'm thinking of takes at least 6 months for a person that already is working for them as a service member. And it takes 2 to 3 years for a person who has not worked for them.
Wow.
They are so severely backlogged. So right about the 90-day mark, secret clearance or secret position or lower, 90 days before you can start is the best time for a service member to apply. And then for those positions that require a TS or higher, 4 to 6 months in advance is the best, because you don't want to waste your skill bridge time with a background investigation.
Right.
You want to start filling out the paperwork, the SF-86, and start having them do the background investigation before you're even eligible to begin, so that way the service member can maximize their skill bridge time and not waste it waiting for the clearance to come back.
Okay. So give us the skill bridge website that you're referring to. Is it just skillbridge.gov?
Oh, no. So the skill bridge is skillbridge.osd.mil.
Okay.
And then slash, it'll be, you know, organizations, locations, but skillbridge.osd.mil is the homepage of SkillBridge.
Okay. So here's what it sounds like to me. You go there and you look at the qualified companies, like the companies that have already been SkillBridge approved. And then you go and you research that company and what kinds of roles do they have, you know, not even just posted, but what do they have in their organization? Do some research on the company, get to know them, do that SWOT analysis that we talked about, and then reach out to that company's point of contact for SkillBridge. Maybe do a little LinkedIn search and see who runs the SkillBridge programs for that organization. Many of them, if they're of a large program, are going to have someone. If not, maybe look for someone in a higher level HR role. Does that sound like a good plan?
It does, yeah. And so one of the good things about the SkillBridge location page is not only will that page have the keywords that the service member is searching, but I'd say like at least 70% of the organizations have the POC and that person's email address listed right there. So
perfect.
Just because an organization is SkillBridge approved, you still want to reach out to the right person. Because again, if you say the word SkillBridge to somebody who doesn't know SkillBridge, the likelihood of the service member getting ghosted is pretty high. So yeah. I would reach out definitely to that listed POC, because you can cut right to the chase. I see that you're SkillBridge approved. I'm interested in these kind of opportunities. I'd love to learn more kind of thing. And so you don't have to beat around the bush and like teach them about SkillBridge. They should already know about SkillBridge. The one thing that I would like to add to that time frame is the what's that networking? Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. When you interview an organization, well, informational interview. Excuse
yes.
me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. So all those informational interviews, right? If you want to do system administration, go find a system administrator with that organization and learn what it's like for them to work there, right? Find out the day-to-day, obviously, right? Find out the good things, but more importantly, find out what are the bad things, right? There is suck in every job. I don't know of one job that is completely like amazing, right? And so you want to learn. Nobody ever leaves a company because of the good things, right? People yeah. leave because of the bad things. And so service members want to find out what do other people feel like is the worst thing, right? If one service member says, or one person at the organization says, every Tuesday afternoon, I have to stand up and I have to brief the team on the status of the program, of the project that we're working on. Most service members who have a leader, you know, next to their name, they're like, I do that every day. That doesn't suck. Like I can do that. Yeah. No problem. Right. But if somebody from the company said, oh yeah, every first year employee has to go down to the first floor bathroom and clean it during their lunch hour, a service member might be like, excuse me, I don't think so. Right. So not that I'm saying that's going to happen, but you want to learn about the good and the bad within that organization. Again, so the service member can kind of rack and stack all the companies that they're reaching out to, and then apply with a purpose to the organizations they actually are interested in joining.
I think that that is great. Again, it's all about like your SWOT analysis, right? So that informational interview really should be part of that pre-planning. And, you know, you talked about that service member you get so excited about, like 2 years out, they're reaching out to you. And then, like, what do they do for the next year and a half? Like, you've got it in that year and a half. You should be doing your research. You should be doing your due diligence. You should get to know the kind of job you want, the kind of company you want to work, what environment works best for you. That's what you're doing in that year and a half. You're researching, gathering information so that you can make informed decisions, not just about SkillBridge, but about where you want to work in your next career. So absolutely, I think that's great advice. You run, I said it earlier, you run the SkillBridge Community of Practice LinkedIn group. Can you tell me about that group and just how it benefits transitioning service members, how they join, that sort of thing?
So as of right now, the DoD doesn't have their own social media presence when it comes to SkillBridge. And you know, I hope that it comes down shortly. Because of what an impactful program SkillBridge is and how many questions people and companies have, that group is solely dedicated to SkillBridge. You know, there's, you know, so many things that a service member needs to consider when they're transitioning, right? Their VA appointments, you know, writing resumes, you know, a federal resume versus a civilian resume, you know, life insurance, health insurance, you know, all that stuff, right? And while all of those things are very much needed, I don't want to dilute the conversation of SkillBridge in the group. So we only talk about SkillBridge in the group. I allow three types of people in the group. It's service members of any kind, whether you're reserve, guard, Coast Guard, you know, active duty, whatever the case may be, as long as your LinkedIn profile demonstrates that you are a current service member, happy to have you in the group. Transition counselors. Transition counselors are the ones on the ground. There is no way that I can meet with 200,000 transitioning service members every year. And so yep. The transition counselors for every branch except for the Navy, service members must utilize their transition office in their SkillBridge process to get approval. And so speaking with their transition counselor, who probably has a wealth of knowledge, right? They've seen a lot of packages. They've seen, you know, good programs. They've seen bad programs, right? And they can really help counsel the service member on what to look out for. You know, what do you want to do? Oh, here's a good company that I've heard good things about. You know, check them out kind of thing. The other type of person that I let into the group is approved company POCs. And okay. So if you are leading your organization's SkillBridge program, I want you to be in the group because I want you to answer questions directly from service members, right? If a service member says, oh, I heard of company XYZ. Does anybody know anything about that program? I want people who participated in that program to help answer the question. But wouldn't it be amazing if the service member got an answer directly from the person who runs the program, right? Who better to get the answers and the information from than the person who actually runs it? Right. And then the last type of person that I let into the group are SkillBridge alumni, right? Those people that have gone through the process, whether it was successful or not for them, they have a lot of insight into the SkillBridge process, the SkillBridge program, the company that they interned with or did their apprenticeship with. They have a lot to offer. And so I asked them to join the group as well. So that way they can give their two cents and answer those questions that service members have. Because transition is a revolving door, right? Yeah. The people that are receiving the information today are going to be different from the information or the people that are receiving the information, you know, just a few weeks down the road.
Okay. All right. I think that sounds like a great program. Anybody listening that is in the midst of their transition, reach out. I'll put the link in the show notes for the group so you can apply and get the approval to join that group and get more information. And it's a great mix of people. And I love that you keep it very focused on SkillBridge, on sharing information about the SkillBridge program, because there is a lot of noise out there on all the other aspects. And it's good that you don't dilute what your message is in that community. So any last thoughts you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
Start early, service members, right? This is your transition. And so, you know, as of right now, there is no one central location where all SkillBridge opportunities are housed. And there is no one central location where all service members go and drop their resume for companies to sift through, right? There's an organization called Value for Veterans that is looking to plug that issue, right? That gap. And they are trying to have as many SkillBridge opportunities posted on their website. And they're trying to encourage as many service members to create profiles and resumes on their platform, so that way it is centrally housed, right? Amazing. How amazing would it be if it was very easy for both companies and service members to go to a one-stop shop and find everything right there. Good places to find SkillBridge opportunities. Again, the SkillBridge group on LinkedIn has a ton of active opportunities, as well as LinkedIn Jobs, right? LinkedIn Jobs has been, kind of the goat for where service members can find a ton of current SkillBridge opportunities. You go on LinkedIn Jobs, type in SkillBridge, bam. And at one point last year, we were up to 2,000. We're up to 2,000 individual SkillBridge opportunities. I definitely encourage service members to utilize their resources. Just don't wait. Don't wait, because it's not going to end up well, right? You're going to wait. It's going to pass you by, or you're going to feel like you have to take an opportunity that maybe you don't really want. You're just trying to get out of uniform. Spend the extra time in uniform so that way you can network and set yourself up for success as a veteran.
Okay. So don't wait. Be proactive. Take ownership of your own transition and get out there, right? So couldn't say it any better. Well, thank you, Dave. I think it was well worth the wait. I appreciate you joining me, and I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you, Laurie. I really appreciated you having me, and hopefully I brought some value to the community.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help you in your military transition, then I've done my job. Please don't keep this podcast a secret. Share it with as many of your active duty service member friends and transitioning veterans who may be struggling with that process as possible. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, and join our YouTube channel so you don't miss any lessons that we share.